Off the Ball on News Talk. Thanks to Air. Manchester United, Arsenal and Manchester City are all in live Premier League action this month on the Air Sport Pack.
Welcome back. So a fifth place semi-final playoff was not where Ireland wanted to be this afternoon by any means, but they were there against Australia in Ravenhill this afternoon and it didn't go to plan either. Ireland 24, Australia 36. Gavin Comiskey, the Irish Times, was there. Gav, even the scoreline suggests Ireland were closer to Australia here than they actually were watching this game.
No, they were never really in it. I'm actually still up here at halftime in the semi between England and France, which is a belter of a game, and it's completely saved this tournament. It's the first unbelievably close game. The skills are brilliant and everything like that. And remembering back to this afternoon, it was like a different sport. Ireland have deep-rooted problems here. They got their preparation badly wrong. It's been really depressing actually covering this tournament for them because there's so many. There's 11 girls who made the World Cup semi-final in 2014. There's about six or seven of them who won a Grand Slam. This was when they were supposed to be peaking, you know. And they've just not even fired off a shot in this tournament.
Yeah, it's 3 points apiece between England and France at halftime. I don't know, I presume you saw the comments from Philip Doyle over the weekend. I certainly saw Peter O'Reilly had them in the Sunday Times, and he was obviously the coach that was there for the last World Cup and took this side to a Six Nations. And he was saying, even before this game against Australia today, our skill levels have been chronically bad. Set pieces creaked repeatedly. Our backline attack's been very disappointing. No creation of space per execution. Our defence, none of the old line speed or threat identification. But I don't want the girls to get the blame for this. It's down to coaching and preparation. And he went on to talk about the integration between sevens and 15s and how there was too much chopping and changing in the build-up to this tournament. And another point made in that piece by Peter O'Reilly was about the warm-up games that Ireland had, it seemed, planned to have. They were talking about three or four warm-up games and ideally against top-tier nations and in the end just play Japan and a behind-closed-door game against Spain. So you take that preparation and you look at what Philip Doyle is saying about the poor coaching and the poor preparation. It's not the girls' fault. It seems like, some serious mistakes have been made in the build-up to what has, you know, it's a home World Cup, so very important tournament.
Let's go back, because people who've checked in for this tournament to watch this Irish women's team will see a skill deficit and we put off the sport, right? But if you go back 3 years' time to the team, and there's a lot of them still playing that got to the World Cup semi-final. That team, Tom Tierney came in, Anthony Eddy came in over the sevens, and he's completely had his hands in a lot of this. So he's the director of women's rugby. They came in and took over, and the momentum from that World Cup got them, and Ireland won the Six Nations, okay? And the skill set was still evident. A lot of the players that we're seeing on the pitch today, not being able to hold balls, were putting passes together and putting phases of play together. And whatever's happened behind closed doors in the last 3 years, and it's the access to the players has been nowhere near the standard it used to be, and that's all been cut down. It was really hard to tell the story of this team in the lead up to the tournament because of that. But what we've seen is, I've just seen no development. We've seen no progress. Now, granted, they lost like legendary players like Lynn Cantwell and Fiona Coughlin, but they also had lots of young players coming into the sport. They did lose Nee Briggs before the tournament, but she was injured for most of the time. There's lots of excuses, but I think Goose was nailed on. I think they got their pre-tournament preparation really badly wrong. The team was chopped and changed pretty much non-stop since 2016, Six Nations, into November. At no point did he go back to the team that everyone knew was the best team. They got familiar with each other. There was players getting taken out for sevens. We don't know how progressive we are going to be at sevens. Now, every other nation in this tournament is doing a chopping and changing and a balancing act with sevens as well. And they've managed to find the balance. Ireland, this has been, like, the review that they need to do, it's going to be easy now because Tom Tierney's three-year contract's up and you can just go, oh, chop the head off and move on. That would be a huge mistake. I'm not saying that Tom Tierney deserves another contract or anything like that, but what they do need to do is they need to examine and go, look, what did we do? What was our three-year plan? Because they got it wrong on so many levels. I can't. Off the pitch, on the pitch. I've covered a World Cup in 2007 in Bordeaux, and we saw a lot of people remember what happened there. Like, this is comparable, and there's on so many different levels. The management and the structures and the coaching and the planning has been deeply flawed.
And what has Tom Tierney or the management or the IRFU said about these criticisms over the last few days? Or have they had a chance to respond to Philip Doyle?
They're saying, "Oh, it's cliche-driven drivel" at every press conference. I'm not exaggerating either. I didn't even ask any questions today except just about is anyone going to retire or when's your contract up? Because it's the same old cliched answers every time. And I completely get the women's point of view. And they can't be absolved of blame either. They haven't improved, and they've been consistently bad performances. But I've got, well, they get asked tough questions, and they've had to go, look, next game, because there's been a game every 4 days. I get that.
Yeah.
And they've had to stay focused. But there's sound, so much noise is off the record, and people going that this camp is not a happy camp, that they've not had the direction that they wanted or craved. It's been as bad a thing as I've had to cover ever.
Right. So this whole thing has imploded then, really, based on what you're saying, and even those off the record.
It's been going for a while, Joe, as well. But you can't just come out and start writing negative stuff, especially when you can see, like, they were winning. Like, they beat there's a French team out there who are matching. England are world champions, Grand Slam team. They're a phenomenal rugby team.
Yeah.
And the French, who have got their act together, a new coach in January, are playing rugby from the 1980s, the Sella, the French, the magical French stuff out there in the first half today and throughout the tournament. So they've got it right. And Ireland beat that team on a really messy, rainy day back in February in the Six Nations, which papered over so many cracks. And they won 4 games in the Six Nations. But then you look at the teams that they beat. Italy look like a better team than them now. They have to play Wales on Saturday, and if they don't beat them, now Wales got hammered by Canada today, but if they don't beat Wales, they don't automatically qualify for the next World Cup. It's a massive step back from a team who, like, drove themselves without much support up to getting a World Cup semi-final. There's so many stories that are going to come out in the next few days when the players finally have a chance to actually speak about what's really going on.
Right, okay. So a last question. I'll let you go and watch the second half between England and France. You talk about the preparation being so off and the coaching being so off. Is there any obvious reason for that? Was funding cut? Is there, like, I don't understand why, for instance, there weren't better warm-up games, or why there wasn't more time spent on coaching with the team and management. Like, and it can't all be down to some players going off playing sevens, because every country has had that issue. Like, it's hard to understand why this has gone so badly wrong.
Well, I don't understand this as well, because after the Six Nations, or during the Six Nations, we asked them, what are you doing for the World Cup? And they're going, everything we do while we're chopping and changing this team is preparation for the World Cup. We were given the answers that we wanted to hear every single time. That's the way I look at it now. And they just got it wrong on so many levels. Yeah. But we
don't really know why.
No, I know. And the thing is, the noises were spot on, right? Because they were put into the high-performance unit. So we were told they're working side-by-side with the professional sevens team. And we heard, like, there was a structural coach. They're the first professional coaches ever. Like, I asked a question before the tournament. I went, Joe Schmidt had a good input in 2014. He came in, did a couple of sessions. I know he was hands-on involved in the victory over New Zealand. And Goose let him do that. They were communicating during the game. And I asked, is Joe or anyone like that, Andy Farrell, whatever, anyone coming in and taking sessions? And the answer I was given was, no, the setup's so professional, we don't need those coaches.
Oh.
Like, that's clearly not the case.
Wow. Okay. Really, really tough disappointing.
Day. Really tough week, I have to say, to cover it. Like, you get no satisfaction from slamming an Irish team over and over again, but that's just the way this has panned out, you know?
Yeah. Gav, we'll read your report tomorrow. Thanks very much for that in the Irish Times. Cheers.
All right, take it easy.
Gavin Comiskey there, who's up in Ravenhill. Second half just started between England and France, 3-3 at halftime there. And Ireland in this fifth place semi-final at Ravenhill, losing to Australia very comprehensively as well, both on the scoreline and on the pitch. 24 points to 36, the final score. Our coverage is with thanks to Aon, a leading provider of risk, retirement and health solutions, and an official partner of the Women's Rugby World Cup 2017. It seems like there's going to be an interesting few days coming up, and we'll maybe get some more answers about what's going on there or not going on there in the build-up to that World Cup from an Irish point of view. Up next, League of Ireland, we're going to talk to the Finn Harps boss. Ollie Horgan will join us live on the line as they try and steer clear of relegation.
Off the ball on News Talk, thanks to AIR. Win GAA Football All-Ireland Championship match tickets at air.ie/GAA.